Hey, so you caught us deep inside this series going through the book of Proverbs. And so I just want to stop and pause for a minute. And for those of you who may be wondering, what is Proverbs? Well, according to Wikipedia, I did a little research, and here's what I found out. Wikipedia said, Proverbs is an example of biblical wisdom literature and raises questions of values, moral behavior, the meaning of human life, and right conduct. And its theological foundation is that the fear of God, meaning submission to the will of God, is the beginning of wisdom, according to Wikipedia. So that's the book of Proverbs. It's a wisdom literature in the Old Testament. And there are all kinds of pithy sayings. Actually, Solomon, who was king of Israel, wrote this. And so we have this, and it is important in our lives to be taking a look at that, because as this series is talking about, we're trying to foolproof our life. What does that mean? That means that we don't want to act like a fool. We don't want to live like a fool. Why? Because as believers, and listen real clear, this message is for believers. Now, if you're not a believer, I am so glad you're here. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're part of this. I want you to sit tight, because you're going to get a good look at the why behind the what of we do. You see what we do day in and day out, but what's the why behind it? Why is it? What is it that motivates us? And so today, we're going to be looking at that. And over the past several weeks, Pastor Clay and Pastor Joseph have been talking about, they've been hitting these pithy sayings, if I can use that phrase, about wisdom and having wisdom in our lives. And I encourage you to go back to our website. You can go back and see all those teachings and get all those, because it's really, really important that we, particularly as God's people, but for everybody, we need to have a lot of wisdom in this day, in this time, and the way we live. Why is that important? Because we believe wisdom will lead to godly habits. Godly habits will help us honor God and love others. And you say, well, how do you get that out of wisdom? Well, wisdom gives us the insight. Godly wisdom gives us the insight to godly ways, helps us to love God, which is, by the way, the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. What's the second one? Love our neighbor as ourselves. What's the best way to find out about how to do that? Wisdom. We go back and get wisdom. So today, as we're landing on this idea of wisdom and trying to foolproof our life, I want to tackle this idea of personal reputation. Now, personal reputation is sometimes really easy to figure out, because it's really easy for me to figure out a good reputation and a bad reputation. That's easy, right? I mean, you can look to see, well, if somebody has a really good reputation, then we see that and we recognize that, and we see certain values there. And if they have a bad one, we see those values too. Let me give you an example. Somebody who is in prison for robbing a bank with a gun, that's a bad reputation. That's pretty easy to spot. We can see them a mile away. Somebody, on the other hand, who helps people out, who encourages people, maybe volunteers their time, that's a good reputation. And that's pretty easy to spot. And so with you, what we need to see is this idea of reputation is built on actions. So the actions are the piece of the puzzle, but underlying actions really is character and value. So here what we believe is, if we can identify our character and value, not just a self-help change our actions, but if we can modify our character and modify our values, then we can live a life that has a good reputation according to God's standard. Here, let me jump to this real quick. I want to shift the word from reputation to character. Character is so important, because it's the value behind the action that we have. And so as I looked up this idea of a good reputation, what does that look like? found this description. In general, people who are considered to have good character often have traits like integrity, honesty, courage, loyalty, fortitude, and other important virtues that promote good behavior. That's pretty much what people of good character have. But here's the question I want to ask us. How do we differentiate between good character and better character? And why in the world is it important? Proverbs 22:1. This is the verse that we're taking a look today and we're diving into. Proverbs 22:1. I'm reading it out of the Amplified Version, and the reason I'm doing that is because it manages some of what I call the heavy lifting for us. A good name earned by honorable behavior, godly wisdom, moral courage, and personal integrity is more desirable than great riches. That's worth saying again. A good name is more desirable than great riches, and favor is better than silver and gold. So think about it for a minute. A good name. And so the Amplified Version helped us out with a good name. And so it begins with honorable behavior. And so what is honorable behavior? So being the student that I am, I begin to look and see and I begin to learn and I begin to say, hey, what is honorable behavior all about? And so here's a definition I came up with. I found it on the internet. Everything's true on the internet, right? But this was pretty good, so I believe it's true. And it says, honorable behavior is behavior worthy of honor. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, it's the truth. I mean, that's how you would define honorable behavior. But here's my question. Who is it giving the honor? Now, think about that for a minute. Now, based on certain people, they may look at me and say, hey, Doug's a pretty honorable guy, and so they're going to honor the behavior that I have. But some other people, based on their insight and understanding, may look at Doug and go, you know, he's not an honorable guy, and so I don't get that honor. So who is the one bestowing the honor? Because I think the better question is, what kind of behavior does God honor? I think that's a great question. In every aspect of our life, what kind of behavior does God honor? So, again, how do you get a good name? You have honorable behavior in your life. Godly wisdom. I love this. How do you get godly wisdom? It says real clear in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. You want godly wisdom? Here's how you get it. You take this book, and you open it up, and you start reading it. Because this is God's word to us. Very clearly, for the Lord gives wisdom. He gives it away. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. It comes directly from Him. Godly wisdom. Having godly wisdom. Not earthly wisdom. Not business decision wisdom. Not off-the-cuff wisdom. Not street-smart wisdom. But godly wisdom gives us a good name. Moral courage. And I this was one that I really had to delve into. Moral courage. Moral courage is courage to take action when there's going to be consequences. Courage to take actions, moral actions, when you know there's going to be consequences. Let me give you a few examples of some moral courage. Because there's a whole lot of people throwing a whole lot of stuff out on Facebook that I don't think is moral courage. What's moral courage, by the way? Glad you asked. Moral courage is the ability to act based on your morals when you know you're going to have adversity with it. So it's acting in fear. You have fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the ability to act when you have fear. And so what happens is you make a moral decision, and guess what? The people you work with don't think, they're not thinking like that, but you are, because you're a believer. You're thinking like that. And so sometimes you have to maybe excuse yourself from a conversation. That's a moral decision to make. Sometimes when you're working on your taxes and you work on them and you work on them and you work on them and you end up and you look down there and you're going, man, I got a big old tax bill. The government don't deserve it. And so I'm gonna make some changes in my tax reporting. But I'm not going to get audited, right? Or, no, I'm going to stick to that. I'm going to pay the taxes I owe. Moral decision. Moral courage. Moral courage to sit down and share with somebody who needs some help in either encouragement, an encouraging word, a prayer, or maybe even Jesus, when you know they may or may not accept it, or when you know the people around you may scoff at you and laugh at you. Moral courage. Finally, they use the word personal integrity. Personal integrity is kind of like moral courage. It's having strong morals and values, following those principles in both your words and actions. What does that mean? So that means that you have a value. So let me give you a good example about me. I place family, a very high value on family. Very high value on family. So when I had to put in 55, 60 hours a week working, I'm now in conflict. I'm not having personal integrity because I'm working more than I'm spending time with my family. That's a moral dilemma. That's where my values are in conflict with my actions. And so we all have moral values, and the idea is for those to line up with our actions. It goes back to, I may have the moral value of being honest and truthful, but when I have the opportunity to cheat or fudge on my taxes, do I take it? I have a moral value of being a peacemaker, but then there are times that I'm creating an argument. And I'm living incongruent to that. And so the idea is for those to come together, my values and my actions, to be in line with each other. And when we live like that, when we execute honorable behavior, godly wisdom, moral courage, and personal integrity, then guess what? We have this good name. And look what God has to say. God says, a good name. This is Irvin's translation right here. That's me, Doug Irvin. Irvin, God's name is way more desirable than money. A good name is way more desirable than money. See, when you're from the South, you can take that word way and you go way, you can stretch it on out. But you get my point. Way more. So the question that we have to wrestle with is, am I living based on that value? Am I more concerned about money, the acquisition of wealth, the acquisition of things that are pleasurable for me, the acquisitions of things, the acquisition of stuff? Am I more concerned about that, or am I more concerned about a good name? Now, this idea of having a good name is really tricky, because you can have a good reputation. You can be a person of good character. You can have high morals. You can have good character. You can have personal integrity. You can actually be wise, maybe not godly wisdom, but you can be wise and insightful. But here's the deal. You can have all that and not be a follower of Jesus. Think about that for a minute. I mean, I can have a good reputation. Believe me, I know people, great reputations, holy mackerel, incredible people. They don't know Jesus. They don't know Jesus. You see, the key in this for us as believers is that godly wisdom piece. How do you get godly wisdom? Well, first of all, you got to have a relationship with Jesus. You have had to come to Him and recognize that He's God's Son, recognize that He's died for you, recognize the only way that you can be in relationship with God is through Jesus, so that your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven by His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And embracing that with a new identity so that you have a new life in Christ, where now you are part of His kingdom and His glory, and you live to the King, because Jesus is the King, and I am in His kingdom, and I follow Him. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. And when we hit that point, then we can get godly wisdom. The only way to get that piece of the puzzle, godly wisdom, is to have a relationship with Him. But it's not just a relationship. It's the living it out. You see, my identity is with Christ. And so the things I do, I hope and pray I do them because my identity is Christ. And so for me to have a good reputation as a believer, it's important for me to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, and then exercise that love by loving my neighbor as myself. Let's call that obedience, loving obedience. One coin, two sides. One side is God's grace that I believed and enveloped. The other side is obedience to that. See, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to identify how to live a life where we have a good and honorable name. Because God said we're supposed to have it. But here's my question. Why? Why is it all fired important for me to have a good reputation? Why? Why in the world would God bother to say, have a good reputation, desire it more than money? Why? Why would He have it? And I think that's the crux of this whole idea. Why? What's the purpose? And I believe we're going to be able to find it in a man mentioned in the New Testament several times who goes by the name of Barnabas. He's mentioned several times. He's mentioned he's an early believer, and in the book of Acts, which is one of the books in the New Testament, and it's called Acts of the Apostles. The apostles were the 12 guys that hung out with Jesus, and of course, Judas. Let's don't go there, but anyway, these apostles and things that they did is recorded in the book of Acts. And so with that, we have people who became believers, and they listened to the apostles' teaching, and they lived together, and they shared stuff together. And so one day, Barnabas, along with several other people, sold a piece of property. Barnabas taught the money, and he put it at the apostles' feet, and the apostles used it to minister to all the people. That's just the way it was. That's the way they did things. They took care of each other. And so Paul is mentioned about, I mean, Barnabas is mentioned. Barnabas is also mentioned in the New Testament as a guy when there was this man named Saul who had a terrible reputation. He killed Christians. And Saul was on his way to a place called Damascus. He encountered Jesus, and his life was transformed and changed. Saul went out into the desert, and when he finished his time out in the desert, he came to Jerusalem to meet the apostles, and the apostles were afraid of him because of his reputation. But Barnabas stood up and said, wait a minute, let me tell you what happened to this guy. I believe it happened. He's for real. I vouch for him. Saul later became known as Paul. Paul became a missionary. Many people came to Christ, and he wrote back to those people in all those towns. Those letters became the New Testament, half of the New Testament. Barnabas. So let's catch up with him. So, in Acts chapter 11, verse 24, the news about them are the people in Antioch, and it reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. So there's this church in Antioch. Antioch is in present-day Turkey, and so word got through and word got out because all the believers had been scattered out because there had been a persecution. Word got back to the apostles that something was going on in Antioch, and they sent Barnabas to check it out. They sent Barnabas off to Antioch. They were going to send him to go. He was going to go check out, see what in the world is going on with these believers. And when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced. Because what did he see? He saw God working. He saw God doing amazing things. And he rejoiced in God. He got excited. But look what else. And he began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. What did he begin to do? He said, listen, God's worked in your life. God's done some great things in your life. I want to encourage you to stay true to that. I want to encourage you to hang on to that. Hang on to that. Keep going with that. He was a great encouragement to them. But notice, for he was a good man, he being Barnabas. He was a good man and full of Holy Spirit and of faith. A couple of characteristics if we want to be honorable as believers. Good person, full of Holy Spirit, full of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Why is it important to have a good reputation? So that we can influence people into God's kingdom, so that we can invite people to know Jesus and they will hear our message and respond. That's why it's important to have a good name. That's why it's important to desire that more than anything else. I get excited when I think about this. I know that my demeanor and my voice tone don't reflect that, but I'm extremely excited, and here's why. We live for the King. We live for the kingdom. As believers, we live for the King. We live for His kingdom. We don't live for our kingdom. It's not about our money. It's not about our acquisition. It's not about our retirement. It's not about what I can have for my toys. It's not about my entertainment. It's not about what I'm going to do for me, for Doug. It's not all about me. It's about Him. I accepted Jesus, but when I accepted Jesus, I gave my life to Him, and He became my Savior and my Lord. And I live for His kingdom, and I hope to goodness that my life is like Barnabas. Or it's like a prophecy in Zechariah. I really love this prophecy in Zechariah. Zechariah 8:23, being prophetic in those days. He's talking about, this is a prophetic. In those days, 10 men from different nations and languages of the world will clutch the sleeve of one Jew. Now, I don't want to get too lost in Jew and all this in all this aspect, but just get this. People from around the world are grabbing one Jew, but here's why they're grabbing them. Because they will say, please, they will beg, please, they will say, oh, let me, please, please, please let me walk with you, for we have heard that God is with you. When's the last time? I got to ask myself first, Doug, when's the last time somebody looked at your life and said, man, I want to walk with you because God is with you? Because the light of Jesus shines so, because you have that kind of influence. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so significant to have a good reputation. So what? What I've been talking about for the last 20 minutes. So what? As a believer, and again, this is as a believer, I should live my life in such a way that I have a good reputation to influence others for the kingdom of God. That's what I've been talking about. Sum it up right here in one phrase. I should live so that I have influence. If you want to sum it up even smaller, I should live so that I can have influence for God's kingdom. So what do we do now? That's great. We know that. I love it. We know that. We have intellectual knowledge. This is what one thing that drives me crazy. It's drove me crazy for 40 years. It drives me crazy. I have this idea. If I read it and I see it and I know it, then I am purely a really deep, good disciple of Jesus. No. I am a really good, deep disciple of Jesus when I live it out obediently in my life. Why? Because I love Him, because I've given my life to Him. He loves me, and my way of showing Him that I love Him is to listen to Him and follow Him. And so now what? What am I supposed to do? Go. Action word. Go develop that good name. That's what I want you to do. No matter where you are, I want you to go. Start developing that good name. Look, seek that out. Seek God in His Word. Execute that out in your life. Seek His kingdom first. Seek Him. Go, develop that good name so that you can influence people to Jesus. That's the whole point. We are the only hope of the next generation of believers. We are the only hope of people coming to know Jesus, us sharing with them. That's God's plan. Not about our resources, not about our finances. Our desire is to have a good name, a good reputation, so that we can influence people to Jesus, to His kingdom. Let's pray together. Father, what a challenge. But what truth that I'm supposed to have a good reputation. But it's not just so I can have a good reputation. It's not so people can pat me on the back. It's not so people can look at me and I can feel good about myself. But God, I'm supposed to have a good reputation so that I can have influence in other people's lives through Your Son, Jesus, so they can come into Your kingdom. Help me to go and do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Well, hey, friends, thanks for joining us today, and thanks to Doug for delivering that message. Before you head out and whatever you have going on in your day, could I ask you a favor? If you think that today's message and what Doug shared with us might be valuable to someone you know, would you mind sharing this video? Not only could it be helpful for them, but by sharing this content as well as liking and subscribing to our channel, you're helping us accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus. And along those lines, Well, I would just be thrilled if you would help us by heading over to our website by going to nextlevelchurch.org/give. You can click the give button when you're there and choose one of those options to give. Know that every dollar that you give makes sure that your church is prepared more than ever to fund our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. And well, by way of benediction, we've been working through this verse. We're going to read it again, found in James chapter 1, verse 22, where James tells us this: but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. May you, as you head out and begin to take on your day, may you ask for the wisdom of God, and may you take action, not just be a hearer. May you be a doer of the word. And as you do, may God bless your life. And then as he blesses you, may you be a blessing to everyone that's around you. Hey, have a blessed week. We'll see you every day on all of our social channels. I'll be back next week to wrap up this series. And just know that whatever you got going on in your life, we love you, we're rooting for you, and we're praying for you.